How y'all doing? How about them Gators? Come on. Didn't you see it? We're doing good. All right. Not too many Gator fans. They won yesterday. In your worship guide, there's a copy of the sermon notes. But if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers would love to give you an extra copy of the sermon notes. I did want to thank everybody for last week, the pastor's appreciation. You put stuff up in the foyer, and the kids made cards. I'm telling you, I read every one of them. I enjoyed them. And it was thank you so much for the pastor's appreciation that you did last week. We do feel appreciated. Thank you. And we appreciate you also. The title of my message is The Christ Life Within. How many of you love this new building? I love the new building. It feels good. It works. It's working good. It's so comfortable. And I believe that we are here in this building by divine design. I don't think it's an accident. I mean, just the way God orchestrated all the events that led up to just, it wasn't even on the market, and God told me to call the guy. I didn't even know he owned it, just told me to call this man, and it turned out he was the owner. We were able to work out a deal, and it was a long, arduous process to take this old club that was a bar. I'm standing where the Copper Top Bar was right here, and to turn this into a church wasn't easy. But it's worth it. How many of you know the things that God has for you to do in life, they won't be easy? A lot of times you say, well, God's called me to do this. Well, it's just going to be easy. Look at the life of Paul if you want to realize that when God, every time God told Paul to do something, he told him to do it, and it wasn't easy. So things that God has in store for your life, they're awesome, but they're not easy, but they're also possible. It's going to take two things. It's going to take the supernatural and the natural. You provide the natural. God provides the supernatural. That's his job, right? And he wants to work in us and through us. So there's things that you and I have to do, practical things, but we can't do it in our own strength. If we did, then we'd be all that in a bag of chips, and we're not. But we do what God's called us to do, and then we expect God to do what only he can do. Look throughout the Bible, and that's the sequence of events. Men and women responded to God in faith and stepped out, and God met them. Peter had to get out of the boat to walk on the water. He had to go out and step out. And there's things that God wants you to do in your life that are going to require you to step out, but you're not stepping out just on your own. You're stepping out into the power of God. You won't see the power till you get out of the boat. So I believe there's things for every one of us to do in this life. And you need to be sure that you're hearing from God. And then when you hear from God, and we're going to talk about some things today to put into our life to help us hear the voice of God. And then you don't want to just live a normal, natural life. Anybody can do that. You want to fulfill your God-given destiny, which is going to be beyond what you can accomplish in your own strength. So you need God, but God needs you. We have to both cooperate. So I believe we're in this building by divine design. It's part of God's plan. I believe you're sitting here today is part of God's plan. You being in this building is part of God's working in your life. You're not here by accident. So however you got here, it was not an accident. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God working behind the scenes to get you here today, sitting in one of these chairs, to be inspired to do all the things that God's created you to do. You're here by divine design. Yes. We need you, but you need the church. We need each other. That's the way the church works. It's a reciprocal relationship. I need my eye, but my eye needs me. We need each other. And that's the example that God gives in the Word. It says we're parts, says you're an eye or a hand or a foot. We need each other. Church needs you. You need the church. When you think about what the church is all about, it's about the mission of Jesus. He said he came to seek and to save what? That which is lost. He said he'll leave the 99 safe and go looking for the one. He'll never forget about the one. He'll always look for the one. And that's the way the church is. We're always looking. And one day you were the one that God came looking for you. And that's why you're here today. God sent someone in your path, didn't he? He didn't just leave you out. He didn't just forget about you and say, oh, I still got my 99. I'm happy with the 99. No, he pursued you relentlessly. Yeah, that's why you're here today. That's why I'm here today. God pursued me. I was not looking for God. Probably all of us have that same testimony. You weren't searching for God. And if you did have any hunger to search for God, it's because he put that there. He was searching for you, and he gave you that desire. That's why you're here today. And that's what the church is all about, to seek and to save that which is lost. We are his hands and his feet. The church has a mission. The church is many things. It's described in different ways because it's like a diamond. It has so many facets to it. It's a family, yes. It's a hospital to help hurting people, yes. But it's also an army. We're on a mission. We're taking souls back from the devil's kingdom, bringing them into the kingdom of light. Amen? That's what the church is all about. We're on a mission. You need a mission. There's something on the inside of us. We want to have a purpose in our life. Well, you have a purpose. When you're in the church, you're on a mission. The church is on a mission to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. The question that I have, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm so glad to be here and be with you on this day. There's important stuff for us to accomplish in this time that we have together. I believe that God's given me something to impart into your spirit that will change your life, that will change this week. And then next week it'll change the coming week. Church days affect the rest of your days. Very important. That's why I want us to the Ten Commandments. God said, honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Don't take it nonchalant. In fact, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but a coming together, encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. A question I have for you today, you mind being challenged a little bit in your thinking. I have a question for you to help you on your mission, and that is this. How is your Christ life within? How is your Christ life within? Because you see, the kingdom of God, it's not the outside. It's not the external. I'm not asking about all the external. I'm not asking all the do's and don'ts and the things. I want to ask you, how is your Christ life within on the inside of you? There's a little stand by the front door. If you're going out, you'll see it on your right. And we don't have too much stuff on there because I don't like clutter. And we decided in this new building, we want things to be neat and clean and simple. But there's two things on that little stand out there, and they're there intentionally. One of them is on the front, it says seven characteristics of a healthy life, and on the back is relationship decisions to make and six relationship questions. I have this in my study notes when I spend time every morning with the Lord, just seeking the Lord and praying, and but at least once or twice a week I look at this, and the thing that jumps out to me every time that convicts me and I seek this. The very first thing on the seven characteristics of a healthy life, the first one is enjoying your relationship with God. Amen. Participating out of delight rather than duty. Take one of these. They're out there. And there's also a list of scriptures. Take one of those also. So I want to ask you, how is your Christ life with it? Are you enjoying your relationship with God, or is it a drudgery? If it is, what's wrong? What's wrong with this? God is perfect, and he is complete love. He loves you. He's demonstrated. If this is hard, what's wrong? Why is it hard to love someone who's already proved his love to you? Are you enjoying your relationship with God? How is that going, the Christ life within? Because what I've found out is the success in this life, success on the outside, so that everything on the outside is going well, starts on the inside. The kingdom of God is from the inside out, not from the outside in. Everything else about life is from the outside in. All the pursuits, you know, alcohol, drugs, sex, partying, you know, accomplishments, success in the world. It's all, if I can get this on the outside, then I'll be happy on the inside. And if you're like me and you've been around for a while, you've accomplished some things and you go, it didn't really give me what I thought it was going to give me. But you can get what you want on the inside through just the pure simplicity of a relationship with God. That's the beauty of the gospel. How is your relationship with God? Your Christ life within determines everything about your life. Happiness, how many want to be happy? I want to be happy. It starts within. Now, the devil lies to us and says, if you just had this, you'd be happy. If you could do that, if you could accomplish that, if that person would do this, if this circumstance, situation in your life were changed, then you'd be happy. In other words, you can't be really happy until you can. And what I found in life is you can't fix any of that. There's only one thing I can fix. It's me. And that's a full-time job. So fixing other people, that, you know, just forget about that. Fix me. Happiness comes from the inside. Peace Peace is not the absence of conflict, because on this earth, you're never going to have the absence of conflict, and everybody's going to do, no, the earth is under a curse, there's sin. No. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It's something that's settled on the inside of you, that you're okay with whatever's going on, no matter how much turmoil it is, I can still have peace. It comes from the inside. Success, it comes from the inside. Victory, accomplishment, good parenting. There's great books out there. We read a lot of books, and I suggest that you read some good books on parenting. But it starts on the inside. It starts with fixing me. It starts with becoming a good parent. It helps you be a good parent, have parenting skills. A good marriage, it starts on the inside. It all starts on the inside. The Christ life is not from the outside in. It's from the inside out. It all comes from within. Financial breakthrough, you say, I need a financial breakthrough. What I've found, it comes from within. You got to get the breakthrough on the inside. I got maybe break some strongholds, break some greed or some lust or some wrong desires or my faith. I got to, if I can get the breakthrough on the inside, I can get the breakthrough on the outside. Relationships, the things that you're believing for. I'm telling you, the victory is not fixing this, that, and that on the outside. It's something on the inside that needs to get fixed, and then God does what only God can do, and then the situation manifests itself. So let's talk about the unlived life within. You ever wonder, what am I missing out on? I used to sell fitness equipment. I was trained in kinesiology in college, and when we went to LA to start the church out there in 1981, I got a job working in the fitness industry. And I remember this one guy came in and he was looking at some equipment and so forth, and I was talking about, you know, I'd like to not just sell equipment but teach, kind of instruct. And I was talking to him about health and fitness and stuff like that, and he goes, well, you know, I'm pretty happy, I feel pretty good, why should I even bother doing all this stuff? And I said, yeah, but how good could you feel? And he stopped and he goes, oh yeah. And so he bought some equipment. I'll never forget, about 3 months later, he came back and he said, you know what, when you said that, he said, you know, that really challenged me. And he said, you know what, you're right. He says, I feel 10 times better than I used to. He didn't know what he was missing out on. He was okay. He wasn't sick. But he wasn't reaching his full potential of health and strength that he could have had by doing some stuff. And maybe don't ever settle. Maybe say, well, I'm okay. I'm doing it. But how good could you do? My relationship with God is, it's okay, but how good could it be? I can hear God, you know. How well could you hear God? I've been used by God a couple times, you know, like a few years ago. How much could God use you? What's the unlived life within you, the unlived potential, the potential that is still there, that is untapped? It's great when you're young to have potential. It's not good when you die to have potential. We should have already realized what we were supposed to walk into in our lives. So let's talk about this unlived. It all starts with me. You know, faith comes, it's within you. Faith, love. How many need more love? I need more love. And I'm not talking about somebody to love me. I need to have more love, show love, act in. My love for others needs to grow. I don't know about you, but mine does. How many feel like the same thing? I need to have more compassion. My love for people. You know, if you find yourself being judgmental and hating people and being angry and being bitter, then my love needs to grow, right? How does it start? Where am I going? Where do I go? Where do you go to find it? Huh? It's within, isn't it? It's a battle. There's a battle for my love, for my faith, for my love to grow. It's a battle within. The kingdom of God, look at this in Luke 17, Jesus put it this way. And before this verse, he was saying, you know, people are going to say, go here and go there and look. And he said this. He said, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus Christ, Jesus talking. And he said, the kingdom of God. How many would like to have the kingdom of God, walk in the kingdom of God, live in the kingdom of God, be in the kingdom of God? That's why we're here today, right? And where is it? It's within you. That's Jesus' words. The kingdom of God is within you. How does it all work? Well, look at Matthew chapters. We're going to look at a few verses of things that Jesus said so we can understand. I want to understand the kingdom of God, and then we're going to come to this board and fill this in a few minutes. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. I hope you love the Bible. I hope you spend time every day in the Bible, journeying through the Bible. If you're new to the Bible, may I just suggest just start in the New Testament. The Old Testament is valid, it's truth, but in the Old Testament is the New Testament contained, in the New Testament is the Old Testament explained. So I like to say, now that we're in the New Testament, from Jesus on is the New Testament. Read the New Testament first. In fact, read it two or three times, and then go back and read the Old with the New, because don't start with the Old. You'll start with the New Testament. I like to say, if you've never read, and I would suggest get a modern translation. When I got saved, someone gave me a King James Bible, and it's a very accurate translation. But we don't talk Elizabethan English, and there's words that are completely, you know, unused and changed. So start with a modern translation, New International, New American Standard, New King James. Those are, I think, the three most reliable. And then there's modern paraphrases like The Message and The Living. They're great. They're great. But read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Start in the New Testament. Start in Matthew. But I love Matthew chapter 6. You know, this is the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and fasted, and then he meets the devil and then overcomes those three temptations. And then he starts his ministry. And then right away in Matthew chapter 5, he gives the Sermon on the Mount, right? The great Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 6. Man, I just love Matthew chapter 6. If you only ever read one chapter, Matthew chapter 6, just it's all in there. Now, so he starts with your rewards, and then he talks about the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew chapter 6, you know, seek first the king, lay up treasure in heaven, and he talks about don't be afraid, and then at the end of Matthew's, he's talking all about this, not being afraid, and trusting God, don't be fearful, he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the lilies of the field, and then at the end, right here, Matthew 6:33, second to the last verse, to sum up all of this, maybe it sums up the whole Sermon on the Mount, he says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we think are so important that we're going after that are important, he said, they'll be added unto you. That's an outrageous statement. All the stuff that the world is just pursuing so hard after, he says, if you'll pursue me, I'll give you all that stuff. That's outrageous. And it takes huge faith to actually do this. Seek first the kingdom of God. Notice he didn't just say, seek the kingdom of God. And here's the hard part. Put God first. That's why I suggest you get up in the morning, put God first in your day. That's why you come to church on Sunday. Put God first in your week. That's why the tithe is the first fruits, the first tenth when we get paid or find something in the street or somebody blesses. The first thing we do is give it to God, because for some reason, God wants to be first. You know why? Because if we put him first, then he can give us the rest of it. The first of the Ten Commandments that he gave his disciples, the first one is what? I'm the Lord your God. No other gods before me. He wants to be first. He wants to be first in your day, first in every area of your life. He wants to be first. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God. So we got to find out what the kingdom of God is, because he said to seek it first. You got to do other stuff, but first and foremost, seek God. Seek first his kingdom. Well, okay, then what is the kingdom of God? Okay, let's get a little help here from Romans 14:17. It says the kingdom of God is good. It's going to tell us what it is. Not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what is eating and drinking? Those are external. The most basic external things. He said, that's not it. In other words, he's saying, it's not outside, it's inside. But it's what? Righteousness, where does that happen? Right standing with God happens inside. Peace, where does that happen? On the inside. Joy, where does that happen? On the inside. The Holy Spirit, where does he dwell? On the inside. So here he's saying, the kingdom of God, the first thing we need to understand about the kingdom of God, it's not external, it's internal. That's what he's saying. Kingdom of God is internal. So we start understanding the kingdom of God with that. The next thing we're going to look at, some Jewish leaders asked Jesus a question in Matthew chapter 22. In the Jewish law, they not only had the Ten Commandments, they had a total of, throughout the whole Levitical law, 430 different laws. How many know that's a lot of laws? It was complicated. It was hard to understand. And I can say, have you ever just, you know, like asked God, Just tell me what to do. I'm confused. I don't, you know, just make it, have you ever wanted to just make it simple? And that's what I hear this guy saying. He said, what's the great commandment under the law? I just hear his heart. It's just like, can you make it simple for me, Jesus? And Jesus does. He says this. He says, teacher, what's the great commandment under the law? And he, Jesus, said to him, I'm going to make it real simple for you. He asked for the great. He asked for one commandment. He gives him two, because this is how life operates. Two things. Two things you need to know. The kingdom of God is two things. All right? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Where is that? Here. Where is love? Here. With all your soul. Where is that? Inside. And all your mind. Where is that? Inside. This is the great and first or foremost. Some translations say first. It's the same word. Foremost or first. The first commandment is what? Love God. All right, so the kingdom of God is loving God. I'm going to put it this way. You got to know God to love God. If you love God, you know God. And the more you know God, the more you love God. So I'm going to make it simple and apply it this way, knowing God. So I would say the first commandment is knowing God, pursuing God, getting to know God. Get up in the morning and open your Bible. Why? So you can be some kind of genius and tell people, no, to know God. The reason you read your Bible is to know God. But then he didn't stop there, and he said, this is the great and foremost commandment. But the second, so the guy only asked for one, but he had to give two, because this is how life works. This is how the kingdom works. You can't just only get wrapped up in God. Watch this, because God cares about the one that's lost. He cares about everybody. He cares about the 99. He cares about the one. He cares about the lost. He cares about people. And when you get a relationship with God, he wants you to be on a co-mission with him, reaching other people, because that's how come you got here today, because somebody reached out to you in some way, and that's why you're here. So he said the second commandment is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the deal. First commandment is to love God. And then the second is to love somebody else like you love yourself. And he already told you that the first commandment for yourself is to know God. So the only way to love somebody else like I love myself is to help them to know God. Does that make sense? Yeah. The kingdom of God, first of all, is me knowing God. And then the second is to help other people know God. That's pretty simple. I love simplicity. And that's the way the gospel is. It's very simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend everything. The whole law, the prophets, everything, all scripture, that's when he said the law and the prophets, that's everything that they had contained in scripture up to that point. Now we have the New Testament added to that. He said, you want to boil it all down? Two things, simple. Know God, help other people know God. That's it. Keep it simple. Because when you look at your life, ask yourself, what am I doing to know God and to know God better? Well, I'm busy. Listen. If you're too busy to know God, it ain't going to go well. You're going to crash and burn. You're going to have some problems. You're going to come. Might as well go ahead and do this, because this is what success is. This is how you get success. This is how you live a better life. A perfect life without any challenges? No, not on this earth. That's called heaven. We're going to get there. But to do it right and to get the victory, because in this life, you're going to have challenges. In this life, you're going to have challenges in this earth, on this world. There is a devil loose. There are demons. There is sin. There is a curse. Adam and Eve, it wasn't created that way, but God has the whole thing under his care and under his... There's a plan for all this. He knew what was going to happen. He made the earth perfect. He made the Garden of Eden. It was called paradise, but he wanted men to have free will. He didn't want robots. He gave him free will, and he let him sin, and he sinned, and... Instantly, he said, the day you eat of it, you shall die. Not physically, spiritually and emotionally. They died. They entered into death. Because he said a curse came on the planet at that moment. And the authority that God gave man, he capitulated over to the renegade angel named Satan. And that's why he has the title as the God of this age. Not the earth, but of this age. His authority will be taken away. But where we live today, there is a devil loose. There is sin, there's destruction, there's people, there is evil in the world. Read the paper, okay? So, to have success, though, what you have to continually do, we have to live in the reality that we live in and accept the fact that there is evil. And how to overcome this is simple. Know God and be about the Father's business, helping other people know God. That's pretty much all you need to know about the Bible. Everything, all of it down into those two statements. That's what Jesus did right there in that statement. Tell us, help us. We're teachers of the law and we're confused and we need help. And he gave them help. Love God, love your neighbor like yourself. They're both on the inside. So that's what it is. Everything that we're looking for in life is in these two. The kingdom of God is within you. Peace is in these two. Joy, success, happiness, contentment, fulfillment, abundance. It's all in knowing God. And he didn't want us to get all wrapped up in ourselves thinking about other people and helping other people know God. So that's our diagram. So now I want to take it a little step further. So I'm going to make it even simpler. It's simple. I'm going to put seven things on here. And you might want to write them down. Or you can watch the video and they'll be up there. I'm going to put seven things. And that's how simple the Christian life is. I'm going to give you seven things to do. To know God, it's easy to know God. Maybe we use a different color. How many would like blue? Do you like blue? Okay, yeah, it just seems like we should have some blue here. All right. Gator color, blue. Okay. So to know God, there's four things. If you do them religiously, faithfully, consistently, you will continue to know God better and better. But you have to do all four. I like to say it's like four legs of a chair. Chairs work good with four legs. You can cut off one leg. It still works, but it's kind of hard to sit in, isn't it? Two legs, it's even harder. Take three legs. You want all four legs. You want all four of these things. So here, first thing you need to do as on a consistent basis is pray. What is that? Simply talking to God. And it's better if you talk to somebody if you listen. I don't know about you, but if you ever had people that when you get around them, that's all they do is talk and they never listen. It's kind of a one way. And sometimes we do that with God. We just cry and bawl and squall and complain and tell him everything, and then we get up and leave. So prayer is a two-way street. You can do it in your car. You can do it in the shower. You can do it when you lay down at night. Simply talking to God. Can you do it on your knees? Yeah. Can you do it laying on the bed? Yes. Can you do it standing up? Yes. Can you do it walking? Yes. Pray. First thing should be the fabric of our life is talking to God. You have struggles in your life. Talk to God about it. Something on your mind? Talk to God. Talk to God. Listen. He'll help you. He'll not only release his power, he'll release his wisdom and show you what to do and what not to do. The second thing is the Bible we just talked about. The Bible is so important. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus calls himself the Word, and then it says the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It's God revealing himself to us. It's a love letter. It's instructions. It's help. Jesus said you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible is words. It's life. When you read the Bible, you're not looking for information. You're going to get information. You're feeding your spirit, man. Just like you have to feed your body, you have to feed your spirit, man. Most of us feed our, it's been said like this, most of us feed our body three hot meals a day, and we feed our spirit one cold snack a week. Let that not be true of us, right? Let us feed our spirit man as much as we feed our physical man. Your physical man needs food, right? Your spirit man needs food. He needs the Bible. Get it on tape. Put it on your iPod. Just get it in your ears. Just keep listening to it any way that you can. Read it when you get up in the morning. Read it before you go to bed at night. Get it in your ears. Keep thinking. Listen to podcasts. Listen to stuff, people reading scriptures. You have to have the Bible. It's only four things. The third thing you need, according to the Bible, is church. You say, yeah, well, I don't need church. Well, that's what the devil has convinced a lot of people. But you're not all that by yourself. You're not. You're an eye. You're a hand. The hand needs the arm. The eye needs the head. And so when we say, I don't need church, it's just pride and arrogance. Yes. Nobody does this. It takes 30 or 40 people just to pull off a Sunday service. Not me. Church is everybody. Church is us. We are the church. You need church. The church needs you. Your gifts are not complete in themselves. You need the other gifts. We work together. Teamwork. Yeah. Teamwork. That's how it works. The church is people coming together. So you need church. It's a humbling thing. I need other people. They're all imperfect. Yeah, guess what? That's the way it works. And then the fourth thing you need is an outflow, which is to give. You cannot be a stagnant pool. You need to be flowing. God gives you stuff every day. You have to give back to God every day. And that's not just finances. There's three main categories of where you can give: your time, your talent, and your treasure. And those are all three things that God lays claim to. Isn't that something? And that's why he instituted the tithe from the beginning. It is designed to fund the church, but it's also primarily designed to designate ownership. In other words, as soon as you get money, you go, oh, tenth belongs to you. And what does that say? You're the king. You're the one that gave me the power to get this. It came from you, so I'm giving to you. And so giving your time shows that I got time from God. I wouldn't even be here without God. I wouldn't have time. I wouldn't have breath. I wouldn't have a heartbeat. So I'm taking my time and giving some portion of my time back to God. And where do you do that? You serve on a dream team. You get in a small group. You go out with the homeless feeding. You give God your time and your talent. Where did your talent come from? Did you invent it? No, you're supposed to develop it, but it came from God. If God didn't put it in, you ain't going to have it, right? And if you have it, you need to develop it, but we need to give it back to God. And all of our finances, so your time, your talent, and your treasure, you always give back to God. So your relationship with God hinges on these four things. Simple, right? Very simple. Praying. If you don't pray, you're never going to get instructed. You're not going to know what to do. You're going to make bad decisions. We just don't know all that. You're limited to what's in here. Not good. Your brain is about the size of your fist. Everybody hold up your fist. You're going to make all the decisions of your life based on this, or based on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords imparting wisdom and insight and things you have no way to figure out with this. Smartest people in the world have done dumb things because they don't know the future. God knows the future. Pray. Read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Be a part. You don't go to church. You are the church. Yes, you go, but you go because you are. Church is a word that indicates compound unity. It's ecclesia in the Greek, called out ones. It's ones that come together. The building is not the church. The sign is not the church. We are the church. And when you go to work, the church went to work. When you go home, the church went home. When you go to Publix, the church went to Publix. Maybe you go to Winn-Dixie. I don't go to Winn-Dixie. I like Publix. How many like Publix? Come on, let's have a vote. How many like Winn-Dixie? How many Winn-Dixie fans we got here? Two. Okay. Right. Go Publix. All right. Pray, Bible, church. Okay. And then helping others. I'm going to give you three things to help others know God. It's very simple. First thing is, we're going to put this over here. Invite people to church. That's pretty simple, right? You say, well, I don't know how to answer all their questions, and I don't know how. Well, that's what church is. That's why Jesus created the church. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So invite people to church. And just a minute, I'm going to tell you about a story about a person who's here today whose life was changed because somebody invited him to church. My life has changed because my Aunt Emily wouldn't stop inviting me to her little church that she had in her home for 2 years. I'm glad she didn't give up. Because you need that. You need church. Church needs you. Things happen. God uses the church. We have so many testimonies. God uses you. Well, they're all imperfect. Yeah, isn't that amazing how God uses a bunch of imperfect people? The building's not perfect. Stuff happens. Last week, you don't even know this, we had a leak in the roof, a drain in the roof. The tube popped off, and it poured water down in the children's room and flooded that room after all the work that we did. And thank God for Ken Redding. Everybody say, thank God for Ken Redding. Because you don't even notice it. He had to pull up about 30 of the tiles and dry the floor and re-glue it and put it back down. You didn't even notice it. But the church is not the building. It's people like Ken. It's all of us coming together so that when you come in, you didn't even notice that happened, and your kids go in there, and they receive the gospel, and they receive the good news. So just invite people to church. You say, well, I don't know how to give an altar call. Simple. I give one every Sunday. It's simple. Just bring them to church. Get them in here, and I'll give the altar call. People will love them. We'll even give them a gift card to Chick-fil-A. How good is that? Come on. Invite people to church. And the second thing, how do you help others know God? And you have a desire on the inside of you to help others know God. And you'll never be completely fulfilled or happy until you are helping somebody else know God. And the way to do that is get on a team that does that, because no one person can do that fully by themselves. We do that by teamwork. So the next thing you do is get on a team. Get on a team. What's that? Dream team. It could be the parking team, could be the greeters team, could be the ushers team, could be the soundboard, could be the music. There's all kinds of teams. I think we have 17 different teams. And teamwork makes the dream work. Church is all these people doing their stuff. People come during the week, behind the scenes, pull up tiles, clean bathrooms, stuff like that. Right? This is how simple it is. Amen. And the third thing, you never abdicate the responsibility to use the pain that you've been through, the trials that you've been through, to help somebody else. The third thing is to tell your story. And I gave a message on that a few weeks ago. And if you didn't hear that, I would encourage you to listen to that. Hopefully it will encourage you. Seven things, if you will do them, I will guarantee you, you'll be happy, you'll be successful, you'll be fulfilled, you'll be making an impact, you'll be fulfilling your destiny. So four things that help you know God better, and three things that help others to know God. Invite them to church, pretty simple. Get on a team, otherwise we have no church to invite people to. Come on. Say, invite them to church. Yeah, but nobody's on a team. Well, then we don't have a church. We have a building and nothing happens. Nobody's singing, nobody's preaching, nobody's working in there. You know, it's chaos. That's how church works. Teams. Get on a team. Yeah. That's how it works. And don't be afraid to tell your story, because your story is very important. And I shared more about that the other day. But today I want to tell you somebody's story in our church, and I have permission to share this. I want to tell you a little bit about Tegan's story. So some of you know Tegan, raise your hand. And you would look at Tegan and say, oh, she's so pretty and she's so happy. She must have had the perfect life. You know what? Nobody in this room has had a perfect life. We've all been through something. But I thank God how God, like I shared that message about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, how they went into the fiery furnace, and it said they came out and not even the smell of smoke was on them. And I look around this room and I know some of your stories and I know my story, and I look and I say, ooh, the smell of smoke isn't even on them. They don't even look like they've been through what they've been through, because God can turn it completely around and make you look like what he wants you to look like and change things. So Tegan, though she looks like she had a perfect life, she said she didn't have a perfect life. When she was 16 years old, even though she had been raised in church, it was kind of a tumultuous family situation. And when she was 16, her parents got a divorce. And then when she was 17, because of that situation, she was homeless. Homeless. Can you imagine? 17 years old and homeless. And she completely denied God through that situation and being in that. She said she just became completely wild, living a life of partying and drunkenness, and she just stayed drunk and partied, denied God. And then after a couple of years, she had a child who was special needs, and that became even more difficult. Then she married, she got into that. I'm sure she thought, okay, this is going to help me get out of the situation. And she had another child, but the relationship was not a good relationship. It was a very abusive relationship. So she's struggling through all these years. She's got two children, one special needs. She's been homeless. Now she's entering a relationship that she thought would help, you know, fulfill her needs and satisfy her. And the relationship seemed to put her in even a more difficult. It was very challenging. It was very difficult. It was very controlling. But somebody that was in her life from ninth grade, a guy that goes to our church, and I don't see him today, his name is Dustin. How many know Dustin Bungard? He used to be our head usher. And somehow they connected after all these years from ninth grade, and they ran into each other in 2016. And he kept bugging her. She said he bugged her, and he kept inviting her to church. So in 2016, watch this. She came to church one time, but then she didn't come back. But Dustin kept bugging her. Come on. My aunt kept bugging. She bugged me. My aunt bugged me, and I thought, I'm going to go to get her off my back. She said the same thing. She said she finally, after 2016, she never came. Finally, in the end of 2017, 2018, she came back, but something happened this time. She connected. She reconnected with God, and she got into a small group, and she went to the freedom group, and she began to get freedom, and God began to give her wisdom, and God began to show her how to deal with life and how to get out of this situation. So she got out of that abusive situation. Faith rose up in her heart. She began to what? Know God. And you'll notice in Tegan's life, right away she got involved and she started helping others to know God. And so it started a cycle. And going from a vicious cycle and a downward cycle, it started an upward cycle. And faith began to rise in her heart. And she said, I think I can believe for some. I'm going to believe for some stuff. She said, I'm going to believe for a good job. For the first time in my life, I'm going to believe. And she got, and you know what? God gave her a good job, gave her a great job. She still has that job. It's a good job. And then she said, I'm going to believe for a car, my first car. And she started believing God. And you know what? After a while, she got a car. She got her first car. And then she said, I'm gonna believe God. I'm gonna believe God for a house. How crazy is that? How crazy is that for a homeless person that gave up on a relationship, had two children and one special needs, and she's gonna believe for a house. And a few weeks ago, she closed and got the keys on a house, her own house. She bought a house, and God's changed her life. And she says, for the first time, she said, when I came and started, she said, I started to get answers. And she said, for the first time in my life, I felt grounded. Good things were happening. Good things are happening in her life. And you'll notice she's a servant. She serves. When we were over there in the old building, John got more than John could handle, and she started coming. And many times I'd drive by the building, and I'd see that little red car out there. There's a Tegan's over there cleaning the old building, sacrificing, giving, serving, because she's giving back to God. And how she's doing that? She's on a team. She's helping others to know God. Why? Because God helped her out of some difficult situations. Now, how did that happen? Dustin didn't give up on her. Let me tell you, and you, there's people in your life. Don't give up. Maybe you wrote them off. You say, well, look, I invited him 3 times. 2 years he kept inviting her, or a year or something like that. 2 years my aunt invited me. Don't give up, because everybody's hope is right here, knowing God. Not in Victory Church. Victory Church is one avenue that God uses. We're just connecting people to God. Everybody's hope, their help, is in knowing God. They're not going to make it if they don't know God. There's people in your life that don't know God. They don't know God's answer. They don't know how much God loves them. Tegan didn't know how much God loved her. She wrote God off, because I don't know. I don't know how detailed, but I would imagine that in that situation, you'd say, well, is there even a God? How did I get in this mess? God doesn't love me, but God did love you. And he loves you. And there's people in your life that if you look at the outside of their life, you go, wow, what a mess. You just don't even want to think about it. You know what? They need God. I needed God. You need God. People around you need God. And here's how simple. All Dustin did was invite her to church until she came. And that was the breakthrough that she needed. That was the catalyst. That's what made things start happening. And God did these wonderful things in her life. Would you give that story a hand, and how God works great things in people's lives? Who's the someone in your life? Who's the someone in your life? I want you to know God, but you're never really happy until you're helping others to know God. You say, well, I've never really had that situation. But listen, if you were here working in the nursery and preschool and children's church when Tegan came, she's your story. Because she wouldn't have come back if she didn't have a place to put her kids. She wouldn't have come back if some old mean person in the parking lot had growled at her and said, yeah, don't park in that grass over there. She wouldn't have. It takes everybody. She came to church. And what is church? It's all of us working together. You are part of her story if you've been serving. If you've given financial, if you've prayed, if you worked on this building. We've had, I think, 10 or 12 people get saved in this building just since we've been here. And when you came and painted these walls and took that big border off of there and scraped the junk off the floor and built the platform like Mac did, and there's so many of us worked. Why do we do that? For the Tegans that are out there. They're still out there. They're more out there. Alachua County is full of them. So 198,000 people that by their own confession, they don't have a relationship with God. They live right next to you. They work right next to you. They're the people in the line next to you. And all we have to do is invite them to church. Isn't that a great payback to be able to do that? Who's the someone in your life who needs to know God? I'm just encouraging you to do two things. Know God and help someone else know God. It's pretty simple. People's eternal destiny hangs in the balance. There's some great projects, great things that you could work on this earth. There's some great things you could invest your life in, isn't there? But let me just ask you to compare whatever that great venture might be, compare it to changing people's eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Does anything compare? Could you do both? Maybe. But if you had to choose one or the other, I'd choose eternal destiny, helping people to do that. Maybe you can combine them. That's even better. Your happiness hangs in the balance. I just want to encourage you to live for God, know God, and to help others. And I believe as we live for God and develop the Christ life within, He'll take you places you never dreamed of. Anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray for everybody that's here today, Lord God. I thank you for the testimony of Tegan and her life change and what happened there. And others, I could tell many other stories. But help us, Lord, to see some people in our life that maybe we've kind of written off because, whoo, boy, there's no hope for them. Well, yes, there is. Yes, there is. As long as they're breathing, there's hope for them. Don't ever give up on them. I just ask you to put people in our heart right now, Lord God, that we need to do just the most simplest thing, invite them to church. Maybe we need to tell them our story. Give us the boldness to do that in the situations that we need to tell people our story. But help us to invite people to church so we can see other Tegan stories come to light in our church. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you. And that is this: if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today and you say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? Well, first of all, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure of. Secondly, yes, you can know. You can know that you have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. Someone asked Jesus, how do I get eternal life? Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. You see, going to church doesn't make you Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you Christian. Even reading the Bible doesn't make you Christian. You must be born again, which means there comes a time in your life, a moment in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. Or you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I need to be with God and I want to get back on track. You spoke something to me today and I want to make a decision. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if either one of those applied to you, just lift up your hand real quick. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Say, I want you to pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want you to pray for me. I want to make that decision. I want to give my life to Christ. Or I want to get back on track. Anybody else? Put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray this prayer with them and help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check that box, I'll send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, we're going to have prayer teams up front to pray with anybody that needs prayer. If you're new to the faith, maybe you don't have a Bible, tell them. We're going to give you a Bible, put your name in it. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket as it comes by. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. So in the Bible, there's three types of giving mentioned in the Bible: tithes, offerings, and alms. And they're very different. They're not the same thing at all. We say tithes and offerings, but tithe is the tenth of our income that we give to God. An offering is a financial gift to a ministry need. The first offering, even though they had already been tithing in Israel, the first offering they ever took up was to build the temple. So that was a you know, like a building fund. And so offerings are for projects, kingdom projects. It might be a missionary, it might be start a new church, it might be a building a building. So tithes is a tenth of our income that's raised. And the tithe, according to scripture, is to fund the church. The church should be fully funded on tithes. When we go to do a building, we take an offering. If we go to plant a new church, we take an offering. Alms is to help the needy. A portion of everything that comes in, if it's not designated, we divide it up. The majority will go to tithes to support the church. A portion will go in an offering. We support missionaries. We support church planting on a monthly basis. Those, I think it's 853 churches that ARC has started, we've invested in those churches. We do that on a weekly basis. And then a portion goes to help the needy in the form of alms. So just wanted to talk about that. And if you're giving, continuing to give, one of the offerings is the Bahama Relief. If you just designate that, then that's an offering. Or the building fund. And yes, we're in the building, but we haven't paid for all the stuff. And there's actually some stuff that we haven't been able to do. The sign is one big project that we haven't been able to do yet. So if you want above your tithes, if you want to continue to contribute to the building fund, it's definitely needed. Just designate building fund on that, okay? So there's three ways to give. You can give in the envelope, or you can give on the website, or you can text to give. Let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Good seed into good soil. I ask you to take these gifts and multiply them, make them do more than we ever thought they could do. We speak over these gifts to win souls and make disciples. And I ask you to give back to the giver a hundredfold return, which is what you promised your disciples. Bless them. Give them a hundredfold what they sow into the kingdom. And right now I speak this blessing over your people that you had your man of God Moses speak over your people. I say they're blessed coming in, they're blessed going out. In the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals, everything that they have. I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they're condemned with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. Everybody that agreed with that said, amen. God bless you as you give.